Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
A long, long time ago. Ladies and gentlemen, today's the day the music died. You hear the song there? You see what I did with that?
Nice. 60 years ago today, the music died.
64, I believe. Nice. 59.
Right. Maybe they'd be happy for a while.
This is what the song's made after, by Don McLean. And Kim, you actually told me about this song a little bit here. You told me about this whole situation that went down.
Yep.
It doesn't work when you sing over the song. Like, I tried to explain nicely before we started recording, but you're just retarded, I think. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm retarded.
I know, but how are you doing?
You should turn it off, though, because copyright.
We're talking over it.
Okay. All right.
I asked you a question.
I'm doing great.
Try to be professional here.
I'm a little retarded, I guess, but
yeah,
I'm doing great.
I asked you not to sing over it, but it's okay. It's a beautiful song.
He's going to hold that against me until the day I die.
This was meant to be a nice intro. We just can't have anything nice here.
My Miss American Pie. I'm sorry.
I swear to God, it's insane. Trying to do anything with you is
okay,
hard.
Okay, you cannot play this song and not sing it. You can't. You just cannot.
Okay.
Especially today.
So, how did you hear about this whole situation? This really, really sad thing that happened in 1959.
Well, basically my mom was obsessed with it. She would talk about it all the time, and every year on this day we'd, like, you know, play the song and talk about it. And lo and behold, when you did research, I found out, like, the plane crashed before she died. So
yeah.
Her parents must have been super, super obsessed with it and, like, ingrained it into her. My mom was born in 61, and the plane crashed in 59. So, you know, my mom was just super obsessed with Jimmy Valens and, you know, the whole plane crash thing. So I, like, just knew that it was a national tragedy, you know, and everybody was upset and they talked about it for years.
Right. Yeah, it is weird. I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, music changed when this whole situation happened. Three very prolific artists dying during this weird plane crash, during a very weird tour in the Midwest during the winter. And I want to talk about some of the ritual aspects of this. We'll let this song roll a little bit, you know, and then we'll get into it. Because, obviously, you kind of give, like, the layman version of what went on. I want to talk about, like I said, the ritual aspects and just get into it.
There's a lot of lyrics in this song that...
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Pull up
the
lyrics
the
there and actually point some out.
Yeah.
Because there's a reference to a sacrifice in the song, right?
Yeah.
Which
I was
is interesting.
Say that, but you interrupted me. Don't interrupt, Kim.
It is kind of hard to hear what's going on while
exactly,
the song is going.
Right,
but.
So that's why I said we should, you know. But yeah, so today is the day the music died.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, you mentioned it yesterday. Usually I don't listen to you very well. I should more, probably.
Right, I know a little bit about some things.
Right.
I am, you know, 10 years older than you are.
Exactly. But... this music really does transcend age, right? So it doesn't matter that you're 10 years older than me in this situation. This music was made before you were born, right?
Way before.
A little bit before. A lot before I was born. No,
a little bit before I was born. A lot.
Just kidding. But yeah, I mean, I want to, like I said, let's get into this stuff because this is very strange. Did you find that particular lyric that's in that song later?
Oh, yeah. I'm reading through the lyrics right now, and it's
towards the end, like maybe like 75%, 80%.
See, there's so many, like, this is such a weird lyric. While the king was looking down, the jester sold his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. Mm. That's it, actually. The courtroom was adjourned and no verdict was returned. That means that, like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what happened, but, I'm pretty sure that, like, it probably did go to court in some form or fashion.
There was investigations, yeah, which I'll get into.
And no one was found guilty, you know?
But look for the part with the plane. There's a part where it says a plane and a sacrificial light.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Hold on.
While you're looking through that, and don't jump in, I'm going to, like, kind of do a little introduction here. But, you know, Buddy Holly was the big one that went down in this. You also had a couple other artists that we'll mention in a second. Kim might have actually mentioned them earlier. Wow. But you have Buddy Holly's band, at the time, consisting of Waylon Jennings, we've all heard of this guy, Tommy Allsup, and then Carl Bunch, and they were playing on this tour in the Midwest called a Winter Dance Party. So remember that name, Winter Dance Party. And the Big Bopper and Richie Valens joined in on the tour, right? These are emerging artists at the time, and they are doing the Winter Dance Party with Buddy Holly, who had just left the Crickets. Did you find the one there?
Yeah, it's really strange. So in there's a few of them. So it says, Jack Flash sat on a candlestick because fire's the devil's only friend. Mm-hmm. And I watched him on stage, my hands clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break the Satan spell. And then flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite.
There you go.
I saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died.
That's strange.
So that means that, like, it was a sacrifice, and some people knew it, and they couldn't stop it, but they all knew it was going to happen. And it was probably supposed to be the other guy. Like, there's no way in hell, like, the coin toss. Maybe there was a double-sided
thing.
A double-headed coin.
Right. So let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Because holy cannoli. This is interesting. And, you know, it's kind of well known in the conspiracy world that music is the devil's tool and all this shit, right? And music of the 50s was about love between a man and a woman. Let's be real. That's what it was about back then. It was about partying, as they like to say back then, bopping, right? That's a type of dancing, right?
Frank, right.
The only reason I even know that is because Frank from Always Sunny is like, we want to make the kids bop with us when they're trying to make their band. They're like, no, kids are going to bop with us, Frank.
When I was younger, they used to have on the radio, like, just 50s music stations.
Okay.
And that was, like, the classic music of the time. Now, like, classic music is 80s, and it's scary to me.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, so back in the day, it was, like, 50s music. So I used to listen to all that stuff. And my, like, older, you know, family and stuff, when they'd babysit me, I'd always listen to that music.
Like,
and
Buddy Holly, Cricket.
Yeah. Yeah. Richie Valens was big. Like, that song had just dropped. His La Bamba song just came out and was a fucking smash hit all across the country.
So your mom had a big crush on him, too.
Yeah. Well, no, she was, like, a little kid, but I think my grandmother had a big crush on him when he first came out. And then she, like, passed that on to my mom because she was so devastated that, I mean, my mom would, like, cry about it still.
Well, I'll go through.
It's fucking psychotic.
Yeah, that is a little weird, especially, like, she didn't know.
She wasn't even born, yeah.
But so the top artists of the 50s, Elvis Presley, Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, the Everly Brothers, Bill Haley and his Comets, Ray Charles, Buddy Holly and the Crickets, boom. The Clovers, the Platters, and so on.
Right, and all that music pretty much died and stopped being as popular.
The style changed.
Yeah, because, and that's, like, right after, you know, like, Elvis was popular, but, like, the era was changing, so, it, you know.
Well, yeah, because you get a really good indication from the 50s to the 60s top 10 when, you know, I've been talking about LSD and psychedelics a lot. This is when this shit gets introduced to the public, and the Grateful Dead really pushes it out, right?
Yeah, Grateful Dead, Jim Morrison, all of them, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix,
of course. Well, so listen to the top 10 in the 60s and how different the sound is from the 50s to the 60s, okay? The Beatles, James Brown, the Beach Boys, the Supremes, the Rolling Stones, who they had an album referencing Satan in the title of the album, right?
The Beatles started to go to India and shit.
Bob Dylan, Aretha Franklin, Elvis was still hanging on because he was so iconic. He dies in 60. He dies in the 70s, actually. Yeah, this is fat Elvis. This is good Elvis. Sam Cooke, and then Jimi Hendrix rounding out that top 10, right?
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix is just starting out because he was like a fucking guitar god.
To a supernatural level.
Well, to people, and back then, like, he's still a god, like, in equivalents of guitar rock legends today.
Right.
So back then, when that sound was, like, brand new, they were like, holy cannoli, you know? I don't know why I keep saying that.
So listen to the difference between the 50s and now the 70s. And in the 70s is when you really start feeling the death of the music, as Bob McLean says. Stevie Wonder being the number one artist in the 70s as a whole, right? And then you move to Led Zeppelin, very different sound than the boppin' music, right?
Yeah.
Elton John, who else?
You had disco, too. Disco,
Pink Floyd, listen.
Disco was competing with rock.
Pink Floyd was number four on this list, another very kind of dark-sounding one. Rolling Stones remains in the top five. The Eagles, okay, making strange songs like Hotel California. Marvin Gaye kind of having a different vibe there. Queen, another one of those.
Marvin Gaye, he had a sad life.
James Brown, yeah, with his dad, right?
Yeah.
And The Who are the top 10 there. So you see a very, very different shift in the culture. And this happens with music. I mean, culture changes and whatnot. But this seemed like a passing of the torch, which is in itself, that's a satanic phrase, not to be overly preachy or anything, but it's well known that that is, you know, it's got undertones of the Olympics and then also the torch bearer, the light bearer, which is Lucifer, right?
I think Elvis got really, really popular because the three, like, they were kind of like outcast rockers, the three people that died, you know, they were considered like satanic. You know, like their music led to the devil's dancing.
Well, I have a separate theory.
Okay, but I think that it was because they were trying to pump up Elvis.
Possibly things like the Beatles and the whole British invasion with the Rolling Stones and all that stuff. But listen, I think with the baby boomers, the music of the 50s was really targeted towards teens, okay? Actually, even when you look at this flyer of the winter dance party tour, it is totally a thing attracted to teens. I mean, it's trying to call teens in. And what it is, basically, it says winter dance party, teens $1.50, parents can come for free. You have yellow and black theme on this. You've got Buddy Holly and the Crickets, Richie Valentine, the Big Bopper, and then a fourth one that's kind of left out of this whole thing, and then a fifth even, Dion and the Belmonts. And then also Frankie Sardo, all were on this tour. But for some reason, they wanted to remove these three wise men, if you want to call them that, of this rock era. Really interesting to me. But you're attracting the teens in this time. And then when the teens are 10 years older in the 60s, now you're indoctrinating them with darker sounds. You're pumping LSD out there. And you're getting them to, as you said earlier before we started recording, it's all about like being pro-establishment in the 50s, and then the 60s, it's a 180 flip to being anti-establishment. Fuck the government.
You know
and
what
all this
I also
stuff.
Think too? I also think that in the 40s and 30s, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s, they were experimenting with putting sound and subliminal messaging behind the music.
In the 30s is when the tuning changed with the Rockefeller music system.
Exactly, and the set standard became higher pitched so that they could put stuff behind it. So what I'm saying is like they were able to program people with just music in the past, and now it's like wearing off.
Right.
And so now it has to be music and, you know, LSD. to just control the masses.
It's strange. So yeah, let's get back into some of the things that I had gotten together here. After performing in Clear Lake, Iowa, Buddy Holly wanted to charter a plane to get to his next show in Minnesota because the tour buses were totally shitty. I guess the ice on the road was pretty treacherous, and they were just tired of all this shit. Performers are getting sick, and it's totally influencing the way that they're performing. It's affecting it in a negative way.
I'm sure if in the 1950s, if I had the chance to take a private plane, I fucking would.
Of course.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, you would today, too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone would.
Yeah.
So Richardson, the Big Bopper, was suffering from the flu, so instead of going on the bus, he swapped places with Waylon Jennings. So Waylon Jennings was supposed to be on this plane that crashed, but instead,
which is crazy,
Richardson gets on there, the big bopper, okay? Now,
and
this
Waylon
is where
Jennings
it gets weird.
Went on to be super famous.
Of course
Sorry.
He did. Yeah. This is where it gets really weird, too. He takes his seat. Now, Alsup, the other, I think he's the guitar player for the Buddy Holly band, lost his seat to Valens, the La Bamba guy, right?
Yep.
In a coin toss, okay? Yeah. Now, that is fate. If I've ever seen it or heard it or whatever, or maybe this is controlled in some way. It could be a, you know, a fucking, you know,
double-sided
coin.
Yeah.
Maybe this is all written out and this is how this shit's supposed to be. When we say that this stuff is set up or it's ritualistic, it doesn't necessarily need to be people that are in on the ritual. It could be something written in the stars, so to speak.
Maybe it didn't matter which one of them had to die, but one of them did have to die, so they just flipped a coin.
I mean, I think it's more impactful if three separate artists die, because you know what's fucked up,
right?
Is Holly's band didn't miss a beat on tour. They were hitting a new location every single day,
right?
And they didn't even take a day off,
right?
They continued with the full 24 stop
and
tour.
I think that that's too in the era when they had just started doing a lot, like cocaine started becoming super relevant in like close circles of famous people,
right?
And speed, meth, different forms of meth and pill version.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So listen, the plane ended up crashing after the 11th trip, number 11, right? Like the whole 11-11 thing,
right?
Manifest things. It crashes on the 11th trip. On the way to the 12th, there was 24 scheduled trips. What's the difference between 24 and 11? You know that quickly?
No.
13. How do you not know? 13. An unlucky number, 13, right? So for some reason, like I said, the band didn't miss a beat after this complete tragedy, just continued touring. Even before Buddy died, they referred to this tour as the tour of hell because of the way that the record label and the promoters had scheduled the stops. It wasn't anything that made sense. Like, let's start over to the east side of the Midwest and then kind of go over towards the west. Oh, they're zigzagging. I mean, if you look at the pattern, it makes no sense. I was trying to see if I could pick out like a pentagram in this thing hidden out because it was so all over the place.
That makes sense why the lyrics to the American Pie song are the way they are, because they reference hell quite a bit.
Right.
I could like look through again to find specifics of the tour from hell, but that lyric sounds familiar.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, this is a ritualistic thing. They crash in a cornfield right when they take off in Iowa. And there are some pretty ritualistic aspects of corn and winter. Now, this is citing my esoteric encyclopedia that I gave out to everybody on Instagram. For the longest time, it was available to Patreon subscribers. It's still published on Patreon as well. But this is what I read from that, from a corn dolly, specifically. Corn dollies, it's a ritualistic thing. When you harvest the corn, you save some of it and you make it almost looks like an ankh, like an Egyptian ankh out of it. And you hang that on a wall. And then once your next crop, the next year, is ready to go, you take that corn dolly and you put it in the field. And the essence of that old crop is remaining in that dolly. And it gives the new crops strength, the same strength that the previous crops the year before had.
That's super crazy.
It's a weird thing. And corn is very, very important to any agricultural culture.
I found another lyric that's pretty interesting where the guy references the three men that passed away.
Okay.
He says, the three men that I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And I think how it says, like, the, you know, every day they drove their Chevy to the levee and the levee was dry,
right,
drinking whiskey and rye and singing This Will Be the Day. I think that they probably, that was like a running joke on that tour, like because
the icy roads and the shitty
icy
conditions.
Roads and it was the tour from hell. So like, today we're going to die, you know, is today the day we're going to die. You know, I could see that, you know.
Well, and then also talking about something being dry, the levee being dry, maybe there's no you know, it's a metaphor for like creation, like the, like right. this era of music is dying and we need to find something new. There's new artists waiting in the wings. Let's get rid of the old and let's bring in the new. So let's get into this Korn, the ritual aspects of Korn and winter. According to my esoteric encyclopedia, in any agrarian culture, the success of the crop corn is all important in Northern Europe, and harvest produce was essential to survival during the winter period. Okay, so you get winter and corn right there. It's an essential thing. I know people, Adam from Deborah Gets Red Pilled has been doing a lot of videos from his farm that he's got, right? And he said it right in his video. He feeds corn to his chickens in the winter because it helps them. It keeps them warmer, right? The extra carbs get them fatter and whatnot. So yeah, corn is a crucial crop going into winter, especially for old civilizations, right? It was a generally held belief that the spirit of the harvest, in this case, the versatile grain crop, resided in the plant. And once the plant was cut down, I can barely see this fucking thing is blocking me. this stupid thing that I got. Once the crop was cut down, then the spirit effectively became homeless, okay? In order to provide a new home for the spirit, the farmers made a corn dolly, that thing that looks like an ank, from the very last stalks of the crop. The dolly would spend their time indoors, or her time indoors, over the winter, waiting to be plowed back into the ground to start the new season. And in places where the corn dolly custom was not established, the last few stalks of corn were violently beaten into the ground, thus giving the spirit back into the earth. So you're basically killing the corn if you're not making a dolly out of it. And there's other Asian cultures specifically that if someone was found, like an outsider or someone from another village was found inside of a cornfield, they would have to keep them in the cornfield. They weren't allowed to leave the cornfield, and they would have to decapitate them in the cornfield because their blood was stealing the essence of the corn, and so they'd have to, you know, sprinkle that blood back into the field. So it's interesting. South Park actually makes a joke about this, remember, right. with Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears, where they build these musicians up and then kill them, and then the corn grows, right?
Yep.
So it's interesting that, you know, it's a goofy cartoon. It's stupid most of the time, but there's a lot of messages in these kinds of shows.
I don't really believe the pilgrim story either, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, it's a separate episode.
Indians just gave some pilgrims corn. Yeah, they fucking know.
Right.
But never mind that.
And if it was, maybe they were the, it's a metaphor for something. It's stealing the Indians' essence, I would say, more so than anything. But when I mentioned earlier, Buddy Holly left the Crickets, which was his, you know, previous band, and because of this, he needed some money, and there was two other reasons he needed more money, and this is why he was on this kind of, like, last-minute, slap-together tour. He had a pregnant wife, and his old manager, which this sounds like a comic book story, Norman Petty, was stealing money from him. A guy with the last name Petty stealing money, and so now you need to go and work more. It's also this child sacrifice also kind of comes in here because, again, Buddy Holly's wife, Maria Elena Holly, was pregnant and she miscarried after hearing the news, according to sources. And I guess this is because of psychological trauma. So you get an element of child sacrifice.
It's pretty traumatic. I'm sure that you could.
Well, she found that on the news. Like, no one even called her. And after this,
that's horrifying.
After this whole situation went down, this is actually the reason that police and, or I should say, media isn't allowed to release any names of people that die in traumatic accidents until the family is known.
Yeah,
that's because of this.
Good.
So, well, yeah, I guess, but
that's Well, it's good that they did something and something changed because that's horrible. It's a horrible way to find out.
You want to get a little conspiratorial now? If that
sure.
wasn't enough for you? This whole tour seems to be set up so that something could go wrong. I mentioned it's zigzagged all over the damn place. Sometimes they're driving on these icy roads and these big tour buses and these entourages for 10 or 12 hours straight. Okay, so you're performing and then you're traveling all throughout the night into the early morning when most car accidents on the road happen. It's like when the sun starts coming up, right?
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous. It's super icy usually in the Midwest.
Well, especially in the winter. This is the winter dance party tour. So 10 hours, 12 hours straight on the icy roads. These dudes are obviously getting sick and shit.
The buses
are
not warm either. Like, your car in that kind of cold temperature does not get warm when the heater's on.
And this is before they were, like, you know, traveling with all kinds of prostitutes and shit, I'm sure. You know, and this guy's married. They seem kind of like pussies by today's
standards. Yeah, it's like 50s era culture. They will sleep around, but, like, not, like,
have a drink of brandy to go to bed, you know. But This is where it gets strange. This pilot that was chosen to fly, because it almost seems like the record label or whoever had allegedly been behind this, it seems like they would have anticipated somebody to charter a jet at some point because of these conditions. And the pilot chosen to fly this tiny, tiny plane. It's a very small plane, something Beach Bonanza plane. It holds very few people. This guy chosen to fly a small plane, which is harder to fly than a large plane, had 4 years of flying experience only, okay? 4 years of flying experience, flying in crazy conditions with three high-value people on board. This guy's name is Roger Peterson.
Was the plane, like, overweighted, too, because it had all their band equipment plus all their luggage? Like, it was kind of like an Aaliyah situation. The plane was overcrowded. The pilot was inexperienced. And it was overweight, and like something snapped in the engine somewhere because it was under too much stress.
Right. Now I'm looking at some more on this Roger Peterson, the pilot here. Peterson had failed an instrument check ride 9 months before this whole thing went out. He had received his instrument training on airplanes equipped with a conventional artificial horizon as a source of aircraft altitude information. And then the one that he was flying today, the Sperry F3 altitude gyroscope was used, which is an older version. So he wasn't even 100% up to date on current tech for the plane to you know, calculate where the altitude is.
So all in all, he's inexperienced.
He's using old equipment. Yeah, he's inexperienced. He has failed his tests in the past, and he's flying something that he's not even used to. And this is particularly strange because he couldn't see out the fucking window. He couldn't. You can't right. see in these conditions. So he basically needed to know how to fly a plane only using the shit that you can see
yeah.
in the cockpit. He was not able to do that. He'd never done it before. Yet he's flying three rock gods of the time.
I think it was probably late at night and nobody wanted to fly. And he volunteered. That's so like in the moment, it was not abnormal. But looking back at it, it's not appropriate. Something either fate is crazy and everything worked out to where these three rock gods literally died, or like it was a setup.
Well, it seems to be a setup. Another thing that happened, contributing factor here, was the seriously inadequate weather briefing provided to the pilot Peterson here, which failed to even mention adverse flying conditions. So he didn't even go into this possibly anticipating that he would not be able to see where the fuck he was going, and he would have to rely on his equipment to tell him so. So
right. he thought it was going to be an easy flight because the snow hadn't fallen yet.
Right. Well, and also, you know, the weather is different above the clouds too, right? Yeah. So he just has no idea what's going on. This reminds me of the dude that was in charge of the autopsy of JFK. Someone seriously unprepared and inexperienced to do something so important. So,
see, that just sounds fake, though. Like, it sounds so, like, fantastical that it could be a movie, and, you yeah. know, it is. And so, like, that's just, it was written, it's a script.
You know? It sure seems to be like yeah. that, and we see that a lot. But as you mentioned, we mentioned in the beginning, we're wrapping up here. This is meant to just be kind of a short thing, just to kind of get the idea, pay a little homage to
right.
this unfortunate situation, man. It's sad.
I wanted to point out that in the lyric how it does say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want to see what their ages were, all three of them, when they died. Do you know?
I think Buddy Holly was 22.
And I know Richie Valens was the youngest one. I feel like he was like either 17 or 19 or something. And then Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the oldest one was the Big Bopper.
Okay, well, let's see. So Buddy Holly, he died at 22. Okay, so 22. We'll add all their ages up too, just to see. What was the other names?
Jimmy Valens.
Jimmy Valens.
E-N-Z.
Valens, E-N-Z. Okay. Jimmy Valens?
Yeah.
Richie Valens.
Richie. Jesus. Jimmy? Jeez. Oh, Richie boy. Valens. Did I say Jimmy this whole time? I probably did. I apologize. I'm a little stoned.
So, Richie Valens was 17.
Yeah, wow. 17 or 18. I remember. Yeah, he was really young. He was the youngest, the son.
Poor guy.
The father was the crickets guy.
Okay, the Big Bopper.
And the Big Bopper was an older man, so he was the Holy Ghost. And they were, that's crazy.
What's his real name, the Big Bopper? J.P. Richardson. He was 28.
Wow.
28, 22, 17. And 17. You want to add all those together for me real quick? All
right.
28, 22, 17. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
I'm not doing it in my head. I'm pulling up my fucking calculator because I'm a moron.
Yeah, we're waiting here.
Okay, 17 plus 22 plus 28 is 67.
67, okay. Huh.
And
yeah.
67.
Add those together. 6 plus 7 is 13. So, you know.
Wow.
Numbers are fun.
I don't know why you like numerology. I think that's just coincidence, but whatever.
I know, but that's what conspiracies are.
It sounds, every time someone does numerology like this, like you just, it sounds like computer code.
Right.
You know, like it, like all of those numbers can add up to a certain number that is like, ooh, because like computer code is like that. You know, like it's random until it's not. You know, it seems random, but it's totally not random.
Well, that's what I say is, like, you know, a lot of people in this conspiracy world, they get a little too cynical lately because it's gotten so mainstream, and then everyone's trying to find disinformation in everything.
Yeah.
So you still have to, like, remain with that sense of wonder and, like, that whole thing where, like, this is here, so let's talk about it. So
right. This wasn't a conspiracy. This was not a conspiracy. This wasn't an accident. This was a conspiracy plane crash. Aaliyah's was a conspiracy plane crash. I'm about to say something else that some people might get mad about, and Kobe Bryant's was a conspiracy plane crash.
That's well
all three of those, we hadn't had a plane crash in a while where a celebrity died. Right. Who was it that she was a judge on American Idol, the drunk one, the she's saying,
oh, Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul. She claims that she was in a plane crash and survived, but there's
Post Malone was too.
There's no, but Paula Abdul's is crazy. She claims that she was in a crazy plane crash where she survived, but some people died and she was like pulled from the wreckage and half conscious, went to the hospital, all that jazz. There's no record of her being in a plane crash. There's no record of a plane crashing. There's no record of any of that. So that's a big conspiracy. And she swears up and down she was in a plane crash. So who knows? And then, the drummer for Blink-182, he's married to Kourtney Kardashian, Travis Barker. Yeah. He was in a giant plane crash. Mm. He survived.
Who else? Leonard Skinner, I think, was.
Yeah.
They died, though.
Yeah, a few people, you know, like a few Leonard big Skinner? People. Like, it happens all the time with big celebrities, probably because they take private planes all the time. But I'm just saying, like, they're never, it always is, like, other people score big time from those
right.
plane crashes, or society changes if the celebrity's big enough and paying attention.
Yep. I mean, again, closing thoughts here, this wrapping up of this era of music seems to, again, have started somewhat of a societal, social decline. Vietnam War kicking off shortly after this plane crashes, just a few years later.
And then music changes.
Music
every,
changing big time.
Every century or every decade after that.
Boy.
Music changes every decade after that. So, like, they could just sway and change society per the music everybody's listening to.
Yeah, it's pretty damn interesting. Again, LSD tying in here. You know, the psychedelic revolution, the fake love, the hate disguised as love. I'm going to be actually talking about the Grateful Dead in the next full-length episode.
Ooh.
And, you know, the whole manufacturing of culture after this. This is shortly after this situation happens, relatively speaking. So listen to American Pie today in honor of the whole situation that went down. It's it's recognized, like, worldwide as the day the music died, February 3rd. So we wanted to throw this together really quickly. Obviously a short episode, not a super deep dive, but tons of theories you can come up with on your own. And until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening. Kim, any last words?
Bye.
Take care, guys.
nearby to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.